Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Holy Trinity is a mystery. That means that it will not necessarily make sense, and that cannot be logically thought through. But instead, what we know of the Holy Trinity, we know from the Holy Scriptures. And that is where we leave it. Even that, what the Scriptures teach about our triune God, takes the work of God the Holy Spirit to make that happen in us to understand it, even in the Scriptures. That Jesus says this when he says that you must be born from above by water and the Spirit. And then that kingdom of heaven will be in your sight, and you will be able to enter into it. That without God's help, we are lost. And so our approaching the mysteries of God, this being the chief mystery of the Holy Trinity, it must come from below God, from beneath God, through something other than what we have naturally. That is what St. Paul, that is how he would approach this matter, as we heard in the epistle lesson from Romans 11 today. That is what Jesus teaches to Nicodemus, as the Trinity is a heavenly thing, which man cannot naturally understand or even begin to comprehend. This is why St. Paul exclaims, "How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways." This is why the prophet Isaiah, quoted by St. Paul, declares, "Who has known the mind of the Lord or been his counselor?" That is to say, who is equal or superior to God? Last week we heard of the united men of Babel in their one language trying to make a name for themselves and build a tower into the heavens. Today, we have no shortage of the same sinful attitude to make a name for yourself and to challenge God. Paul says, the judgments of God are unsearchable. How many so freely question the works and the judgments of God today? How many have so proudly declared that they sit in judgment over the Almighty? Lest you think just of others, remember that when you sin, in any way, you do this very thing. For when you sin, you are declaring God's law to not really be good for you, and that you yourself know better than God. Of course, there are all kinds of more crass examples of people today sitting in judgment over God, from anger over a cancer diagnosis to redefining marriage to despising the gift of children to self-identifying as something contrary to the declaration and creation of God to self-righteous judgments over God's actions in society or the past to defying the Word and having things like open communion or some other silly thing that has come about in the last year called online communion. To any level of embracing something other than God's Word and teaching, of embracing false teaching, false understanding, or any other such thing that does not come from the Word of God, that you ought to beware, as the rest of the world should as well, lest you think, when you stand tall enough to look down upon the God who created you and render judgment upon him and his actions, you fall headlong into the disaster of your body and your soul. But no, this is not the place for judgment of God. This is the place for humility and the honest fear of God. And pride is the opposite of that. It will reap its own reward. God's judgments are unjudgeable by sinful creatures. God's ways are incapable of being scrutinized by sinful creatures. That godliness accepts what God judges, what God does, and how God does it, in humility and in trust. In the shining light of this truth, it is important and appropriate on this Trinity Sunday to ponder the mystery of the Holy Trinity, but to do so in the only godly way, to ponder from nature or from logic would not end well. That's not the godly way. To ponder from your experience will not bode well either. Instead, the only way to ponder the Holy Trinity is from the Holy Scriptures. That is, to sit beneath the Word of our God, how He has revealed Himself to us. This is, in fact, the only way we can rightly do anything theological. And in the end, not only is the teaching of the Holy Trinity important because it is the revelation of God's own Word, but even more, we pause this morning to hear how this triune God regards us. It will do no good to understand God and comprehend all the mysteries of God without understanding His disposition toward you. But that, of course, is intimately woven into the fabric of the Trinity. That this we know from the work of the Spirit in revealing that the Father sent the only begotten Son to redeem the fallen creatures who do indeed prefer to sit in judgment over God than to ever be saved by the same God. The word Trinity is shorthand. You won't find that in your Bible. The teaching of the Trinity, however, the teaching of who our God is as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is throughout all of Scripture. From the first two verses of Genesis, laying out the triune God, to not long thereafter, hearing this divine triune conversation amongst the persons of the Trinity in the creation of man and woman, the height of creation, to the three lords of the blessing given to Aaron to bless God's people, the one that you hear at the end of each divine service, to the triple holy of the Old Testament lesson today, to the three persons present and mentioned at the baptism of Jesus, to the explicit naming of the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in our Lord Jesus Christ's institution of holy baptism, to the apostolic blessing that comes, that includes all three persons, that comes at the end of 2 Corinthians, that is used in our prayer offices, that there are many more mentions of the Trinity, but these will suffice to show throughout Scripture the Trinity is taught. That God is one. From the earliest times, God's people have used that statement that God is one as a confession, as a creed. It is a confession of what the Scriptures reveal, what they say in Deuteronomy chapter 6 about there being only one God. All others are forgeries or fake. They are deceptions or delusions created by demons or by men controlled by demons. That God is not many, but God is one. That there is only one God, and that one God is triune in nature. We use that word person to describe this profound and fundamental revelation about our God. That each person of the Trinity possesses his own will and his own self-consciousness. They speak to each other, and yet they are one. That this is a mystery how this could be. It is meant then to be adored and worshipped rather than understood. That this is the humble way toward God. the one God who has revealed himself to us as three persons. That God is eternal. That all three persons are eternal. That there has never been a time when there wasn't the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That the Son and the Spirit are divine, just like the Father. That each person can be prayed to as God. Each person can be worshipped as God. And yet we don't worship or pray to three gods, but one God. This is what Scripture reveals. It's what it says. Each person speaks as God. So when the Father speaks, as he did at the baptism of Jesus, God speaks. When the Son speaks, he speaks not as man, but as God. When the Spirit speaks by inspiring the words of the Holy Scriptures, we can receive those words as God's word. By that speaking of the Spirit, we know what we can about this Trinity, as the Word of God teaches us what to confess. For those three creeds that we confess, the Apostles, the Nicene, and Athanasian, even that long one, yes, they are the very teaching of the Word of God. They confess what God has revealed, what God wants us to know about Him. And our confessing it is our humble and faithful acceptance of what our God has done, what our God, the only true God, the triune God, has given to us. Jesus told Nicodemus that one must be first born from above. Sometimes it's translated born again. The first birth does not help in spiritual or heavenly things. It is a birth after the image of the first Adam who cast all mankind into sin. A second birth from above needs to happen. And so God, Jesus, taught about baptism, rebirth by the water and the Spirit. And Jesus didn't want the rebirth of baptism to be interpreted as some work of man, to be removed from his work as God and man. No, rebirth comes by the work of God. For the Son of Man, who descended into the flesh and did ascend back into heaven, who is still in heaven, another mystery involving the two natures of Christ and relationship between the persons of the Trinity, this Son of Man, the Father sends this only begotten Son to be lifted up for the life of the world, the eternal life of the world. That the Spirit given in baptism is the same eternal Spirit of God that inspired the very words that reveal this gift to you. The God you have is one God and yet three persons. And that God has worked out your salvation for you. That God came to redeem, that by looking upon Him, that is by trusting His work of being lifted up and crucified, taking upon your sins upon Himself, that He might atone for your sins by the shedding of His blood, that by trusting in that work and then His word and promise about His work, you would not perish as your first birth deserved, but have everlasting life. So this gospel lesson we heard from John 3 teaches many things. It teaches the Trinity, it teaches holy baptism, the sacrifice of Jesus, and the glorious will of God toward all mankind. This is how God has loved the world. This is unsearchable. It's inscrutable. It's beyond all rational thinking or logic. It cannot be understood apart from the Word and the work of God. That this God, who created all things out of nothing simply by speaking, this same God has redeemed all things by taking on human flesh and blood and shedding his own divine blood. And this God has sent his Holy Spirit to bring new life to sinners who are incapable of naturally fathoming anything beneficial about God. Who is God? The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How does this triune God regard you? With love. For the Father sent the Son to be lifted up for your sake. And they have sent the Spirit to you for your new birth from above and eternal life as you've entered the kingdom of heaven. That is God. And how that God regards you is good news for you. A creature whose first birth only led to proud judgments over God and his ways, judgments and thoughts that are filled with sin and founded in sin and fruitful in making for more sin. But that's what you were. That's the old you in the first birth. This day, this Lord's Day, the triune God reminds you of your new birth from above, that heavenly things have been bestowed upon you, that God has spoken to you by his word. He has revealed himself to you, and he has also revealed how he regards you, what he thinks about you. That like Isaiah, you, a sinner, surrounded by sinners, have had your guilt taken away and your sins atoned for by God himself. May this bring you humility, comfort, and strength for the days to come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.